Palestinian territories after the New York Times revealed the U.S. supplied 2,000-pound bombs were routinely used against Palestinian civilians in so-called safe areas of Gaza. The Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, also said the Biden administration must stop justifying war crimes Israel has perpetrated against hospitals in Gaza after an investigation by the Washington Post debunked claims that Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital had to be attacked because it was a military command center. U.S. President Joe Biden has pledged unshakable support for Israel as a death toll from the occupying regime's genocidal aggression against Gaza has exceeded 20,000. Joe Biden made the remark during a ceremony marking a Jewish holiday at the White House recently amid mounting pressure on his administration over the provision of lethal weaponry to Israel at the height of the Gaza war. Biden said his commitment to the safety of the Jewish people and the security of Israel and its right to exist is unshakable. Referring to the Gaza-based Palestinian resistance group that conducted a historic operation against the occupying Israeli regime more than 2 months ago, Joe Biden added, Washington will continue to provide military assistance to Israel until Hamas has been removed. Turkey's Anadolu news agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says it was shameful of the United States government to veto a United Nations Security Council resolution calling for a humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza. Said to be the most famous progressive in the House of Representatives, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez posted shameful above an X message showing the U.S. as the lone no vote at the UN Security Council vote. Ocasio-Cortez said the administration of President Joe Biden can no longer reconcile their professed concern for Palestinians and human rights while also single-handedly vetoing the UN's call for a ceasefire and sidestepping the entire US Congress to unconditionally back the indiscriminate bombing campaign in Gaza. The United States vetoed the resolution recently. The resolution was demanding an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza and had been put forward by the United Arab Emirates and backed by more than 90 United Nations member countries. 13 countries voted in favor of the resolution. Britain abstained from the vote. In a posting on X, Senator Bernie Sanders also denounced Washington for the veto. Senator Sanders said, at a time when Palestinians in Gaza are facing horrific conditions, the United States should not be vetoing a UN resolution calling for a humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza and the release of all captives. Senator Bernie Sanders also underscored the fact that children in Gaza needed food, water, and medical supplies. We must do everything possible to make that happen now, he said. Before the vote, at the United Nations Security Council meeting, UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres warned that Gaza was at a breaking point, with the humanitarian support system in Gaza at a serious risk of collapse.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light. And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint,
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. This is the movie critique program in which we try to criticize movies with religious themes. One of those movies that we started criticizing from the last episode onward was The Pope's Exorcist. This movie is produced in 2023, directed by Julius Avery. Well, for that, I invited again two of my guests and friends or guest speakers here to the studio, Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Abdullah, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Yasser, greetings.
Greetings back to you, Brother Muhammad Jawad. Inshallah,
thank you.
You are well.
Thank you very much. Before I ask you the critical questions regarding this movie, The Pope's Exorcist, directed by Julius Avery, produced in 2023, which is, or the claim is, it's based on a true story. Let's take a listen to a short part of this movie, and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
Gabriel,
perché pensi che San Michele non l'aveva ucciso? Quando ne ha avuto la possibilità?
That is a question of theology. Perhaps it was his mercy that stayed St. Michael's sword.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers, helping me criticize the movie The Pope's Exorcist, produced in 2023, directed by Julius Avery. Brother Yasser, my first question to you is that, according to the conversation between Father Amort and a bishop who happened to like the father and somehow backed him with, the exorcism cases that he was doing or performing, he said something somehow strange. I want to ask you whether this claim, the whole claim, is true or not. Can we find a kind of solid foundation, like, logically speaking, for this statement that he said? He said, why didn't Saint Michael, I mean, the bishop asked the father, why didn't Saint Michael, I guess he meant angel Michael, kill Satan when he had the chance? Is this true?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In Islamic texts, we don't have anything like this mentioned. The story of the devil, Iblis,
yes,
or Satan with the capital S, is very fascinating in the glorious Quran. I mean, you have a being, a creature, a creation of God speaking to God in such a way and asking God for favors directly, saying that, you know, I will misguide you, telling God, telling your own creator, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, directly, that I will misguide your own creation. I will misguide them.
Yeah.
I'm your creation as well.
Yes. And he didn't deny that he was created by God.
Yeah,
he was speaking to God.
He never denied. He knew who God was. He knew that this is my creator.
Exactly.
He knew that this was everything I have is from him. He even then asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me life till the end of time, whenever the time will be.
Mm-hmm.
He's now requesting, knowing that whatever I want is in the hands of this, the words are lacking, in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This thing that is in front of me, Allah that is in front of me. Okay. There was no space and time or whatever in this particular instance. But anyway, He knew. In the Islamic tradition, this is thing that known. So this concept also that you have in Christianity, which is quite heavy, because this they see the devil as being a fallen angel.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, there was a fight amongst the, again, angelology and demonology in the Christian church is quite extensive. And going back to traditional books, going back to their own writings, whatever they may have, to try and find out exactly how they put this puzzle together. But what we know is that in general, Satan is a fallen angel, so there may have been some fight mm-hmm. happening in heaven or yes. in the realm of God at that time,
mm-hmm.
that he then did something and he was kicked out of paradise, right. fell to earth,
yes.
lost his wings, and you know decided to do what he had to do, or doing what he is doing. So there is this...
this is the Christian reading God, the Christian, this or is what education. The
Christian so we don't believe that. We don't believe that it's an angel in the first place.
Yeah, he wasn't a fallen angel.
He wasn't a fallen angel. He was one of the jinn, another yes. creature, which is yes. separate from the angels altogether.
Yes.
But one who, by his own free will and his own effort, reached a high position. And from that very high position, again, because of his own choices, fell down.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what's known as rububiyyah, the lordship of Allah. He knew that.
Yes.
Right? But the one aspect that he did not understand, or he failed to understand, or at that particular moment his arrogance got the better of him, was this concept of ubudiyyah. Mm-hmm. Obedience and worship.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is where the thing fell. Allah orders you to do something.
Yes.
You do it even knowing that He's your mm-hmm. Lord. He understood this.
Yes.
That you give me the permission to go to the other thing. But at that moment in time, He said, why? Why must I, who created a fire, bow to somebody or something that you created from clay? Mm-hmm. I'm better than Him.
Mm-hmm.
You're again questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that particular questioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are questioning the wisdom and the hikmat behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. So it's ubudiyyah is a problem.
Yes.
So this is the Islamic version of it. And obviously we do deviate from the Christian version, who sees a fallen angel and so on and so forth. So as we know, the Quran tells us that the angels are ma'soom. Mm-hmm. What they do is something in complete obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are, again, the word ma'soom, they are infallible, meaning that they cannot deviate from the manner in which they were created, which mm-hmm. is to completely serve the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Brother Yasser. Let's take a short break by listening to a part of the movie, The Pope's Exorcist, produced in 2023, directed by Julius Avery. And then we'll come back criticizing it after the short break. Don't go away.
The only thing that rests God's love is a person's freedom to choose. A God cannot be God unless he allows for this choice, even for the damned. St. Michael, he knows this.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Brother Yasser and Syed Abdullah helping me criticize the movie The Pope's Exorcist, produced in 2023, directed by Julius Avery. Syed Abdullah, following the same part of the movie where I asked the question about Saint Michael, or Angel Michael, better to say, regarding the same kind of conversation that Father Amort had with that bishop, all right, in the Vatican, Father Gabriel Amort answered the bishop with, this statement. He said God wanted to give everyone freedom of choice, even to Satan. That is why Saint Michael, or Angel Michael, didn't kill Satan when he had the chance, because he knew this. Again, is this line of reasoning valid? Like as a kind of answer to the question that the bishop asked Father Amort?
Well, such reasoning is absolutely invalid for reasons. First, like the brother said, the whole story never took place, that Satan was cast down and then he had a war with Michael, and Michael tied him to the ground, and he wanted to kill him, but then he felt that he was his brother, and he left him alone. And then this reasoning that, oh, because of free choice. Well, this reasoning is just nonsense because, well, if it was a free choice, why would even my going, obviously, by the Christian story,
yes,
which is like being the devil's advocate here. So if Michael knew that Shaitan has a free will of choice, why did he had to go fight with him in the first place? What were they fighting over? So he fought him, he put him in a corner where he was about to kill him, and he's like, you know what, I'm going to spare your life. I'm going. So from the minute he was sent down, like, leave him alone because he has a free choice.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole argument is baseless. It's, you know, it's nonsensical due to the fact that the story itself doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
That two angels or two brothers, according to the Christian theology, two brothers fighting each other, and then, you know, one of them gets out of her hand and he just lets him go. He wouldn't kill him. But why? Because he has a free choice. Well, why fight with him in the first place? If God was the one who casted him down, what is Michael doing fighting with him? Unless Michael is the one who casted him down, and then Michael's fighting with him, then why would Michael give him free choice? Like I said, the whole story, doesn't matter how you look at it, it doesn't make sense because the story itself is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
When the story is flawed, as we say in mantiq and logic, that the result, you know, follows the worst of the beginnings.
Yes.
So the beginning is bad, the result is going to be bad too. So
mm-hmm.
so the whole story is flawed. Thus, the reasoning is whatever reasoning they give to why Michael didn't kill him, whether it's free will or not, yes, is going to be flawed too.
Yes. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah. Let's take a short break and we'll be back with more criticism of the movie The Pope's Exorcist, produced in 2023, directed by Julius Avery. Don't go away.
We will all be judged.
We will all be judged by how much we love.
Do not worry, Gabrielli. I will defend you.
Defend me? My faith does not require defense.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program, and Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah, my guest speakers, helping me criticize the movie The Pope's Exorcist, produced in 2023, directed by Julius Avery. Brother Yasser, again, regarding the same conversation or dialogue between Father Amort and the bishop in the Vatican, Father Amort said, we are judged by how much we love. What does it mean, first of all? And then, love whom? Love God or other individuals, other people in society?
One of the main teachings of Christianity, especially the Catholic, because as a Muslim, and as Muslims, we are more, especially those who follow the school of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wasalam, we are more inclined and are more closer to the Orthodox and Catholic churches.
Yes.
Because we see them as original Christianity. We see them as being, once upon a time, a divine religion. They are still divine, but obviously over time being manipulated and so on and so forth. We still see them as divine religions. So one of the main teachings, and we see that Islam has the aspect of this teaching in it as well, the concept of love.
Yes.
We have this hadith or this tradition that says that religion is nothing but love and hatred. Ad-deen, you know, is nothing but hubul bughs. So we have that teaching as well. But Christianity obviously emphasizes the love aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
What he means by love here is what you mentioned, is it encapsulates everything. For love in God encapsulates the love of his creation. Therefore, love here is servitude to the creation of God.
Yes.
You know, so in Islam we have the same thing, you know, serving the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala itself is serving God.
Mm-hmm.
So example, we have certain traditions that saying giving charity is actually the hand of God. Literally, like, for example, yes, giving charity is like the hand of God giving something to somebody mm-hmm. else. And we have many other traditions like that. So in this aspect, what I understood from that, in that particular teaching, taking my limited knowledge of the Catholic Church, is love, in this instance, is love of God, love of the creation of God, and then that love leads to servitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a blind, you know, mouthing of love. It yes. is like, and he himself showed that he, as an exorcist, as a person who wanted to serve God
mm-hmm.
And out of his love for the creation of God, wanted to keep people away from evil and away from the devil.
I see. Thank you very much, Brother Yasser. And thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah, for your nice comments and answers to the questions about the movie The Pope's Exorcist, produced in 2023, directed by Julius Avery. Of course, we haven't finished the critique of this movie, and we promise you, you know, in the upcoming episodes to do so. Thank you very much for listening to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Whatever you only do because God allows.
Did he allow that?
Father Gabriele Amort. On the night of June 4th, you performed an exorcism.
That was not an exorcism. The majority of cases do not require an exorcism.
98% are recommended by him to doctors and psychiatrists.
The other 2%, I call it evil.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. Here is what Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, told Muslims after the passing away of her dear father, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, when she perceived signs of weakness of faith among them. When God perceived the nations divided into different religions, deifying fire and worshipping idols, and rejecting him in spite of their intellect and knowledge, God the Majestic guided and enlightened them from darkness through my father, Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, and removed the curtains of ignorance from their hearts, and illuminated their eyes, relieving them from blindness.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Welcome to Israel Watch, which showed the doubts that the Zionists have regarding the possibility of achieving the goals of aggression declared by the war regime, while disagreements rage within it regarding the process of the aggression and the mounting pressures from the relatives of the Zionist captives who are being held by the Palestinian resistance in the Gaza Strip. About these issues, I welcome the expert in Israel's affairs, Mr. Nabil Awatha. You're most welcome, Mr. Awatha. Let the beginning be with the Zionist skepticism that has been increasing on a far scale inside the Zionist entity regarding the Netanyahu's cabinet's goal in its aggression against Gaza Strip. Most important goals have been the elimination of the resistance and freeing the Israeli captives. Of course, the Zionist skepticism is a result of the Israeli military fiasco in its confrontation with the Palestinian resistance, which is inflicting heavy damage in Israel's soldiers and equipment and preventing the enemy from holding the areas into which it penetrated inside Gaza Strip. Mr. Awatha, what is the nature of these skepticism that are being published by the Hebrew media regarding the difficulty in achieving the announced goals in Gaza Strip, beside the calls to wake up from this big illusion?
It's very clear that the main reason for this split is the big failure that occurred in the battlefield, particularly after the huge losses by the Zionist army. From 5 to 10 soldiers are being killed on a daily basis. This phenomenon bounced back inside Israel. The case started with support from the officials, the public opinion, and the media demanding the destruction of the Gaza Strip and Hamas movement, to another stance when the Israeli public opinion divided into two camps. The first one was the camp of the captives, while the second camp belonged to the war advocates. The camp of captives came as a result of the big failure that has been demanding a diplomatic solution to free their relatives or reviving a deal. This reality shows that the military campaign against the Strip failed, particularly after the first truce. The second camp, led by Netanyahu, demands the continuation of the war for an infinite time in order to get benefit of it in other domestic files and entitlements. Because every day of war passes, Netanyahu is strengthening his capabilities and the right-wing coalition inside the regime.
This military failure has been followed by an intelligence fiasco in having information with regard to the health of Mohammed Al-Tayf, the Palestinian leader in Gaza Strip, in light of the conflicting information circulated by the enemy media about his health and physical condition. So with Israel's acknowledgement, the leader Mohammed Al-Tayf is an exception in Hamas movement. What is your opinion with regards to the intelligence failure in following Al-Tayf's health?
In fact, he is the other side of the failure. The failure has a connection with the big goals. At the beginning, the entity kept talking about big events in this campaign, but today he's summarizing the goals in some persons. It wants the elimination of Mohammed Al-Tayf and Yahya al-Sanwar. In other words, it is searching for any goal in order to get a result it can present to the Israeli public opinion as a military achievement. This in itself expresses high military and political positions and the confinement of matters to areas related to the leadership in Gaza. This means the process of descending from the tree has started, or what we call the high positions that are impossible to achieve with these types of operations, according to the latest confession from the Israelis.
But if you have realized, the Zionist media has been concentrating on the intelligence failure in the case related to the leader Mohammed Al-Tayf.
No doubt there is tension, so to speak, and divisions regarding the role of the state of intelligence in the entity. Today, the intelligence service in the Zionist entity is facing major criticisms due to this failure on October the 7th. In addition to the failure that has relation to Mohammed Al-Tayf's personality and his whereabouts, and of course Yahya al-Sinwar and other leaders in Hamas movement. This is in itself a part of the internal split and a part of the major failure related to the big goals the Israelis' politicians put for themselves, but so far failed to achieve any of those goals, to the extent that the chief of staff of the armed forces has said it publicly that whoever wants to eliminate Hamas is not sane.
The nightmares of the battles that Israel's army has been involved in against the Palestinian fighters in Gaza Strip have begun to appear among the shock soldiers and the psychological symptoms they were experiencing. Of course, the subject of shock soldiers due to the confrontations with Palestinian fighters has been the main axis of comments in social media.
Rutem, Israel is eating its own children.
Yahav.
How many fighters of our soldiers will be in this psychological condition due to this war?
Orn.
Which corrupt and shameful regime sends people to a battle, and when they return shocked, it throws them in a waste container. An unparalleled shame. Shame on you, Netanyahu, and your cabinet.
Shlomi.
All of Israel is in a state of battle shock.
So, all of the Israeli regime is in a state of shock due to the ongoing battles in Gaza Strip. How do you explain such a situation?
The size of the psychological reality has a relation with the soldiers, in particular the reserved ones. Their numbers were big and they were away from any real battle. More than that, they had a preconceived idea that they were capable of achieving victories should they have participated in any battle. But when they got involved in a real battle, they were shocked. First, some of them were shot by their own comrades. Their number was high. This matter caused a lot of shock to them. As a result of this situation, they lost any trust in who was shooting them, the Palestinian fighters or the Israeli soldiers. This became a reason for confusion, which reflected in the lack of confidence in leadership and in fighting, in addition to another reason, which was their confidence that they have taken control of some streets, but suddenly they would become surprised by the resistance fighters who would come behind them from zero point. As we watched in various documentaries published by resistance groups saying that these images were broadcast live. This matter heavily affected the Israeli troops psychologically. The majority of them are suffering from severe psychological crisis.
Of course, they're being ignored by the Zionist occupation authorities. Anyway, after this military and intelligence failure through the aggression on Gaza, one of the well-known Zionist analysts said in the media, we should have killed 100,000 of Gaza's population at the beginning of the eruption of the battle. This was Tesfi, one of the prominent analysts in Israel, expressed his willingness to see the killing of 100,000 of Gaza's population at the initial strike. What do you get out of this speech as a result for this Zionist brutality?
What this analysis is reflecting is so clear that they wanted this action from the first minute. They were seeking a genocide in Gaza in order to convey a message to Gaza's people that what would happen to you is because of the resistance. We saw the anchor who was surprised by his guest's speech. In other words, he meant that this speech was far away from ethics of war. It was very clear that what the Israelis wanted to do from the beginning in committing a genocide was backed by political and legislative support inside the Israeli regime and the Knesset. We saw and heard several Zionist MPs and ministers who said publicly, like the Minister of Heritage, said, we should throw a nuclear bomb on Gaza. This anchor tries to ease the tension because he was aware about the failure in achieving any one of his cabinet goals. By the way, the same anchor was hoping to achieve his cabinet goals in the first days of the battle.
This Israeli confusion not only reflected upon military and intelligence levels, but a confusion on the political level as well. When differences come to the surface in Netanyahu's cabinet, which is experiencing sharp discussions regarding the ongoing aggression and the ways to terminate it. The Israeli social media sites entered the domestic differences also, putting the responsibility of what happened during Al-Aqsa flood on him and supporting the Zionist activists in their demand to push him to resignation.
The chief of staff didn't know and didn't prepare the army for what happened. He must be the first one to be ousted after the war.
Gabi,
who decided was the regime, and the army is executing its orders. The chief of staff is despicable and a loser. He must go immediately.
Katikat,
where were you when the observers informed you about what was going on near the fences? We tried to warn you.
Natan?
Netanyahu and his cabinet are disastrous accidents on Israel.
Sigalich,
it's a shame upon Israel. We deserve other leaders.
The disputes within the regime and the war council pushed an ex-prominent general to ask the regime to determine the path of this aggression and the prices the regime is going to pay. So, Mr. Awatha, Netanyahu's cabinet must tell the Zionists where it's taking them in the middle of these differences. What are the meanings of these words, in your opinion?
The basic meaning in this split is the failure, which has got a link to the stance against the army in particular. The best individuals who have got a background of the nature of the battle and its outcome, plus what is going on there, are the military commanders, and in particular, the chief of staff, Hatzal Laiba. By the way, the attack he faced took place with the presence of Netanyahu, Ben-Gavir, and Regev. The attack was unprecedented, in which the chief of staff was accused of preparing for a military coup. And this is what we say is the big problem that has a link to the roots of the battle. These disputes with the army are not new. At the outset of the war, there wasn't any skepticism regarding the army's capabilities. But today, we can see skepticism towards the army to the extent that Netanyahu got involved in all discussions in this context and began a severe criticism against the chief of staff. This is a part of struggle for the power and the alternatives which are connected to the nature of the future regime.
Now we're going to the protest by the relatives and families of the Israeli captives who are extremely worried about the fate of their beloved ones after the Israeli army killed three of them. These relatives are holding Netanyahu's cabinet responsible for having their relatives killed. So, Mr. Awatha, the captives' issue is pressurizing Netanyahu's cabinet in a bad way. It's backed off from freeing them by force, of course, after it entered negotiations in Cairo on the hope of signing a new deal. Al-Qassim Brigades broadcast a video clip regarding the death of the three Israeli captives.
The death of the three captives was a coup, so to say. What Netanyahu was seeking achieving, a particular matter that has links to the release of the captives. Should those three captives not have been killed by the Israeli army, we would have seen another image of the war, and the Israeli public opinion would encourage Netanyahu and his regime to continue the mission. But because he failed, and as a result, all the theories to free the captives collapsed, so this development brought him and his regime to the first square.
The front that was opened by Hezbollah in South Lebanon, which seemed more militarily painful to the enemy, who did not expect it every day. The arms being used by the resistance in Lebanon are getting more sophisticated and developed, till we saw the use of ground-to-air missiles against Israeli helicopters. Mr. Awatha, what does the use of these developed weapons from Hezbollah mean to the Zionist entity, particularly the use of ground-to-air missiles targeting Israeli helicopters?
This is a confirmation of combat days in South Lebanon and a wide and a comprehensive war taking place. The level of using weapons means that the battle is so deep and effective, while some voices began to come out from within the entity, saying that what is going on in the North is a real war.
The Israeli leaders vowed to return the settlers to the occupied areas near South Lebanon and pushing back Hezbollah far from the borders. The command that was mocked by the Zionist experts and commentators, amongst them the ex-general Yitzhak Breck. The ex-general is saying to the settlers in the north, be careful and alert.
The general is the shadow of Netanyahu. He is well known that he is a close friend to him. Whatever he says, Netanyahu likes to say it, but he refrains from talking publicly due to the elections and the upcoming political entitlements. What General Brake is saying shows that there is a real war going on in the north, and the resistance in South Lebanon was able to respond to Israel to a very profound extent. What is saying about the security is there in the settlements, not in Lebanese areas.
Mr. Nabih Awatha, the expert in Israeli affairs, many thanks for being with us and participating in this episode of our program, Israel Watch. Many thanks to you for accompanying us in our program. God bless you.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Salamun alaikum, dear friend. Inshallah, you are doing well. So welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to us. First, we'll look at the calendar. Then we're going to speak about promoting humanity. So please be with us.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh, Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please leave you, is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today, Friday, is the 15th of Jamadil Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Day, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of December, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 14. We'll listen to it, then the important lesson.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ثم خلقنا النطفة علقة فخلقنا المضغة عظاما فكسونا العظام لحما ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر.
Then we made the sperm drop into a clinging clot, and we made the clot into a lump of flesh, and we made from the lump bones, and we covered the bones with flesh. Then we developed him into another creation. So blessed is Allah, the best of creators.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Blessed be that unique power that draws such an unprecedented and marvelous picture with a drop of liquid in the dark room of the womb. Blessed be that knowledge and wisdom that creates all those talents, capabilities and potentials in such an apparently insignificant creature. Glorified be Him, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, for His unique creation. Allah creates the substance and the form of things, while if man intends to create something, he can only give a new form to it using the existing materials of this world as its substance.
Is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
To promote humanity, this is the topic we're going to speak about. Islam rejects any discrimination among human beings based on religion, race, language, and nationality. Differences in either race or religion can never be used to validate the mistreatment of others. This mistaken understanding is against the teachings of Islam and contradicts what is practiced by Prophet Muhammad. It is therefore against the intended purpose of the creation of tribes and races to bring strife and conflict against one another. It is telling that our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny coexisted with people of different races and religion in his lifetime, created bonds with them and treated them with the utmost respect and dignity, be it in life or in death.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How can we be a better human? What does Islam or other religions say about achieving success to be a better person, a better personality, or to be a human? The eighth factor is making recourse to Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. The household of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam are like stars shining and leading mankind to the right path. They are the best role models. Following them and adhering to their teachings will lead to success. And next is avoiding sins. The ultimate purpose behind the creation of man is perfection and eternal happiness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted, provided man with the tools and means of happiness, showing him the path which leads to it. One of the barriers to perfection is sin, disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Committing a sin leads to destruction, causing man regret and sorrow. The ending is bad. A sin is like a deadly poison whose cure is only repentance and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and return to get gifted nature and servitude of Allah. The effects of sinning does not become visible only on the Day of Judgment. Many of its impacts also implicate man in this world. Thank you very much, dear brothers and sisters, for staying tuned with this radio and listening to this discussion and listening to us. So some other factors that makes us to be a better human, a better person. I've failed to cover all those factors that I have collected to present to you. Some of these factors have been left, like struggle or patience and forbearance and economic security. But hopefully we shall find some other time, inshallah, in future to talk about such discussions, such issues. Thanks for your patience and staying tuned. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Economic welfare and its relationship with our topic. In Islam, zakat is a form of compulsory almsgivings and a religious obligation for those Muslims who are financially affluent. They are required to pay 1/40 of their total income or money each year to those Muslims who are poor and helpless. Zakat is considered by Muslims to be an act of piety through which one expresses concern for the well-being of fellow Muslims as well as preserving social harmony between the wealthy and the poor. Zakat promotes a more equitable redistribution of wealth and fosters a sense of solidarity amongst members of the ummah. And sadaqa. Sadaqa means voluntary charity which is given out of compassion, love, friendship, fraternity, religious duty, or generosity. Both the Quran and the Hadith have put much emphasis on spending money for the welfare of needy people. The Quran says, "Spend something in charity out of substance which we have bestowed on you before death should come to any of you." Chapter 63, verse 10. and one of the tips for becoming more human. Images communicate what words cannot. As much as you can include imaginary in your communications, if you're speaking, tell a relatable story. If you're writing, include images about what you're talking about. If it's the web, well, if you aren't using images on the web yet, we probably need to have a back-to-the-basics discussion. Did you know that the eyes can communicate information faster than any of the other senses?
I would like to talk about the worth of a human being from the Islamic point of view. And as a preamble to that, let me talk about, you know, the position of human being in the world. As part of this, you know, overall social dimension of the society, which in a normal way, basically it functions, and this is how it functions. People should use their own talent to help the society. In return, the society also helps them. But then there are some who actually go above that level. And they say, no, we will use our expertise and our time and our energy and our talents and ability, you know, to serve others without asking for anything. And this is what is known as volunteerism. In Islamic terminology, we call khidmat-e-khalq, to serve the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, in Islam, once somebody does that, that when a person starts doing volunteerism, using his own ability, talent, knowledge, you know, ability or resources to help others, and he does khidmat-e-khalq in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is going to reward that person. And this is what is known as khidmat al-khalq fi sabilillah. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, in Islam, actions do not have value by themselves. Actions actually are, you know, value neutral as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. The action gets the value according to the niyat of the doer. See, the problem between us, or the difference between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that we don't have the ability to know what is in the mind and heart of an individual. So we just look at the zahir. We only look at the amal and the fa'il. And we judge individuals according to the actions. And that is, you know, a normal way of doing it. But we should not expect the same standard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at the action, the amal, and the fa'il. He actually looks at the fa'il, the amil. What was the intention? If the intention was fi sabilillah, then the reward is there. If the intention was fame in this dunya, Allah says, I'll give you that in your dunya. In Akhirah, don't demand anything from me.
That was all for today's special, and of course, to promote humanity. Inshallah, we continue this topic. So follow us on parstoday.ir/en. Thank you very much, and fi amanillah.
They told me that I'm crazy. Who you praying for? Told me there is nothing. Who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, 'cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I
show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.